It is from the book of Exodus, chapter 12, verses 1 to 13. It's entitled the Passover. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, "This month is to be for you the first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people there are. You are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect, and you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the people of the community of Israel, must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and the tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. That same night they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire, along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or cooked in water, but roasted over the fire, head, legs, and inner parts. Do not leave any of it till morning. If some is left till morning, you must burn it. This is how you are to eat it: with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn, both men and animals. And if I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt, I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt." May God add to the reading of His word. Thank you.
One of the unique aspects of the body of Christ, which we call the church, are the ordinances or ceremonies that the Lord has instructed us to observe. There are two primary observances that we've been given. One is baptism, which is a one-time ceremony whereby a person publicly confesses his or her faith in Jesus Christ. The other ordinance is a bit different. It's the ceremony we call the Lord's Supper, or communion. And this observance is one that we are instructed to repeat over and over again on a regular basis. It is to be repeated as a reminder of our Lord and His sacrifice. I've decided to take a little break from the book of Galatians, since this was Communion Sunday, and to focus on that this morning. I want to look at the history of this celebration, where it began, what it means, why we carry it on in our church. I know that this is not new to any of you. I think you're all aware of these things, but I think it's worthwhile to look at it again and to think about why we do what we do. And we need to begin by looking back to the history, the historical background of the Lord's Supper. And in order to see the history of the communion celebration, we have to go all the way back to this passage in Exodus that we just read, and what is referred to as the Passover. As a little bit of background, the Israelites, the nation of Israel, had been in bondage for 400 years in Egypt. For generations they had lived there. Jacob and his family had moved into Egypt, it says 70 persons, and over the years they had become a great nation in Egypt. But they were in bondage. The Pharaoh had made them slaves, and they were crying out to the Lord. Well, the Lord heard their cries. We read about that in Exodus chapter 3. The Lord said, in verse 7 there, the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey. He says, I've heard their cries, and I'm going to lead them out. And he called Moses as the one who would deliver them. And of course, you are familiar with the story, how Moses went back to Egypt. He and his brother Aaron went to Pharaoh and demanded of Pharaoh, they said, our God has said, let my people go. Set them free. We're going to go out and worship the Lord in the wilderness. He didn't say, we have no intention of coming back. But he said, we're going to go and worship in the wilderness. And Pharaoh, of course, said, oh no, you're not. He wasn't about to let the all this free labor, slave labor, get away. And of course, you know of the plagues. One after another, God sent various plagues on the land of Egypt. Frogs and flies and boils and hail and just one thing after another. And each time Pharaoh became harder and more determined. When the plague would come, he'd say, okay, take it away and you can go. And when this was gone, then he changed his mind. He became harder and harder. Until finally, the final plague, the tenth plague, was the death of the firstborn. And it was introduced in this passage we read in Exodus chapter 12. The Lord said, we're going to start a new calendar for you. This is going to be the first month of your year from now on. And it happened in the springtime, by the way. Passover this year for the Jewish people begins on April the 14th. And it goes for 8 days until the 22nd. But the instructions are given in this passage. Verses 3 and 4, God said you're to take a lamb for each household, or share a lamb if there's not enough people in your household. In verses 5 and 6, you are to kill the lamb on the 14th day of this month. You're to kill the lamb and prepare it to eat it. In verse 7, you shall take some of the blood from that lamb and put it on the doorpost and over the lintel, over the top of the door of your house. Verses 8 and 9, you're to cook the lamb. Roast it over a fire. It's not to be eaten raw. It's not to be boiled. It's to be roasted and eaten that night. Don't leave anything over till the next day. If anything is not eaten, it's to be burned up and done away with. But in verse 11, he said, be prepared for a journey. In my vernacular, I would say, eat it with your boots on. He said, eat it with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. You're to eat this meal, ready to go, because you're going to be moving out. And verses 12 and 13 give us the reason for the blood to be applied to the doorposts. It was to be a token of their faith, a sign of their obedience to the Lord, because that night, God said, the angel of the Lord is going to pass through the land, and the firstborn in every household is going to die. But he said, you are to put the blood on the doorposts of your houses, because when I see the blood on the door of your house, I will pass over you. I will pass over that house, and you'll be safe. You won't be harmed. And so it was that when the angel of the Lord passed through the land that night, the firstborn of every household died. We read over in verse 29, at midnight, the Lord struck down all of the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on his throne to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the livestock. Every firstborn person and animal died that night, except the Israelites who placed the blood on the door of their homes. That's the historical background. Now we come to the ceremonial background to the Lord's Supper. In the verses immediately following what was read before, verses 14 to 20, God gives some more instructions, and we're not going to read it all, but he told them that they are to keep this as an annual memorial. They're to remember this incident through an annual celebration. And every year the people of Israel were to set aside several days during the first month of their year to remember the Passover. To remember when God passed over them, when he brought judgment on Egypt, and he passed over them because of the blood applied to their doorposts. And they were to celebrate God's deliverance of their people out of the land of Egypt. Of course, connected with all this, we know what happened when the firstborn died. Pharaoh immediately in the middle of the night called Moses and Aaron in and said, "Get your people and get out of here. We don't ever want to see you again." No wonder God said to eat it with your belt fastened and your sandals on your feet and so on, because they left immediately. But they were to remember this and celebrate God's deliverance of their people out of the land of Egypt. And the key reminder was how they were saved from harm, saved from judgment, because of the application of the blood to the doorpost. And at the heart of the Passover celebration was the Passover meal. Passover went on for 8 days, but on the first night of Passover was a special meal when they would reenact the Passover by killing and eating a lamb. And at the time of Jesus, this was still being done. In fact, even today, in Jewish homes around the world, they observe Passover in a special meal. And there are a number of things involved in that meal. The key elements are the meat, which of course would be lamb, the bitter herbs. It was a reminder of their bitter years of slavery in Egypt. Something that was called the cheroseth or heroseth, which was a mixture of, there's different ways of making it, but a mixture of figs, dates, raisins, nuts, fruits of various kinds. And it was a reminder of the clay that they used in Egypt to make bricks. Unleavened bread, a reminder of the haste with which they left Egypt, because it even mentions that they took their, down in verse 34 of Exodus chapter 12, so the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading bowls being bound up in their cloaks on their shoulders. They didn't have time for that. Of course, the unleavened bread also represented sin. It was the symbol of putting away all sin from their lives. And then there was wine. The Passover meal has 4 glasses of wine on the table, which represent different things. One of the reminders is the promises that God gave them when they went out. When he said, "I will bring you out of Egypt. I will set you free. I will take you as my people, and I will be your God, and I will bring you into the land I promised to your father Abraham." Those 4 promises. All of these things had to be prepared for the Passover celebration. And in the book of Luke, you have the account in Luke 22 of how Jesus said to his disciples, he sent Peter and John saying, "Go and prepare the Passover meal." Well, getting these things all together and being prepared for this was part of preparing for the Passover meal. The meat and the herbs and the unleavened bread, the heroseth and all of that. And so Peter and John made the arrangements for this supper with Jesus and his disciples. And it was to just such a meal that Jesus and his disciples sat down or reclined that evening many years ago. You can read many accounts of that event in the Gospels. One such account is Luke chapter 22, verses 1 through 38. And as Jesus arranged to spend this time with his disciples, he also used the time to try to prepare them for the reality of his coming death on the cross. He began to tell them about how he needed to suffer and die. And that leads us to the next point, which is the typical significance of the Lord's Supper. And by typical, I don't mean the usual. I mean as a type, a symbol, a significance the typical significance of the Lord's Supper. You see, we can never really understand the importance or the meaning of what we do here until we understand the connection between the Passover in Egypt and the death of Jesus on a cross outside Jerusalem. Because it's in the death of Christ that the true significance of the Passover is seen. It's in the death of Christ that the symbolism of the Passover is fulfilled. The Old Testament Passover is a type, a symbol, a picture, which continually pointed forward to that once-for-all sacrifice which was to be made to purchase our redemption. It's clear in the New Testament that God's plan is pictured, His plan of salvation is pictured in the Passover. The sentence of death in Egypt, God specified that every firstborn child was going to die that night. Death was going to affect every household. And the sentence of death is on every one of us, just as it was on the households of Egypt. Because of sin, we are sentenced to death. But Christ, the Lamb of God, was slain as the Passover lamb to pay the penalty, to free us, to set us free, to pay for our sin. His blood was shed in our place, and all that remains for us to do is to believe in Him, to apply the blood, as it were, to the doorposts of our lives. There is no other way than the blood of Jesus. Just as in Egypt, there is no other way for us. The atonement, the payment, was made by the blood of Christ, and the only way to avoid judgment, to avoid destruction, is to apply the blood through faith in His blood. And then, when we have done that, when we have put our trust in what Jesus Christ did on the cross and the shedding of His blood, when we face the judgment of God, we'll hear the same declaration that God made to the Israelites when He said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." That's the significance. The Passover was a type, a symbol pointing to the death of Jesus Christ, our Passover lamb. His blood is our token of redemption. You know, there's an old hymn. So many of the old hymns that I grew up with are not in our hymn books today. And some of you probably know this hymn. It says, "Christ our Redeemer died on the cross." And I forget how it goes from there, but the chorus says, "When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you." That's the significance. The Passover was a type. It was a symbol that pointed to the death of Jesus Christ, our Passover lamb. And I don't think it is in any way insignificant that the death of Jesus Christ occurred at the time of the Passover in Jewish history. It was the night of the Passover that Jesus said to His disciples that He was going to die, and the next day He was put on trial, if you want to call it that, and was put to death. His blood is our token of redemption. Now, what does all of this have to do with the Lord's Supper, with communion? Well, just this. And we come to the institution of the Lord's Supper. In Luke 22, we have Jesus sitting down to the ceremonial Passover meal with His disciples. They would go through the usual ceremonies involved, eating the traditional foods, and remembering the meaning and the symbolism of those foods, which I mentioned before. The meat, which was the lamb that was slain, and the blood applied to the doorpost. The bitter herbs, reminding them of the years of slavery from which they were delivered. The haroset, that mixture of dates and figs and all of the stuff that was in it, it was like the clay that they used in Egypt to make bricks. The unleavened bread, the haste with which they left Egypt, and the wine, the four glasses. As I said, there were other symbols in those four glasses as well. But One was known as the cup of sanctification. There was the cup of praise. There was the cup of redemption. And I forget what the fourth one was. But during that meal, as they were going through this ceremony, this ritual, if you want to call it that, remembering the Passover from Egypt and the deliverance that they experienced as a nation when God brought them out of Egypt, Jesus did something different. He took, at different times in that meal, he took two different elements and he gave them a whole new meaning. He gave them to his disciples as a ceremony of remembrance once again, but with a different meaning. It was would no longer be a remembrance of looking back at the slaying of the lamb in Egypt and how God delivered them from bondage to slavery. Rather, they would be looking back to the slaying of the Lamb of God, and the deliverance that His death brought, not from slavery in Egypt, but from bondage to sin. He gave them, as they were eating, He took the bread, it says, the unleavened bread, and He gave it to them, and He said, "Take, eat this. It is my body which is given for you." I am sure the disciples wondered what he was talking about. He had told them. He had told them several times that he was going to be crucified, that he was going to be put to death, and that he would rise again. But I'm sure they didn't really seem to get that, and I'm sure they wondered when he said, "Take and eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then he took a cup. And most scholars believe that this was more than likely the third cup in the that was shared in the meal, which was known as the cup of redemption. And he gave it to them and he said, "This is the new covenant in my blood. Drink from it, all of you." And with this new ceremony, he gave that instruction, do this in remembrance of me. When you look into the book of Acts, you find that one of the first things mentioned about the early church was that they shared together in the breaking of bread, which could be an indication of simply sharing meals together, but I think that it was more significant in the fact that they were breaking bread, sharing in the meal, the Lord's Supper. And now, almost 2,000 years later, believers in Jesus Christ are still remembering His death through the sharing of His body and His blood that are represented in the bread and the cup. The Lord's Supper, the bread and the juice, represent the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is our Lamb. He is the one to whom the whole ceremony in Egypt looked forward. He is the Passover Lamb whose blood was shed to offer a way of escape from the wrath of God. There is no other way. He is our Lamb. His blood is our token of forgiveness. He is our Passover. It is because of the blood of Christ applied to our lives that God can say, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you. You will not come under judgment." As we come to the table of the Lord this morning, let us do so with gratitude for what He has done for us, for what He was willing to do. I need to conclude with one warning, because in the book of 1 Corinthians, when Paul talks to the Corinthian believers about this whole communion service and the Lord's table, he gives them a warning. He says, "Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself." And then he goes on to talk about what has happened there. It were those who were ill and those who were dying because they were inconsiderate, because they were abusing what God had given them. But let me just say that I believe the warning is that we need to look into our own hearts. Make sure, first of all, that we are worthy to take the bread and the cup because we have applied His blood to our hearts, because we have put our faith and our trust in what Jesus did. And then to be sure that there isn't something in our hearts that has gone unnoticed or unforgiven. We need to confess our sin regularly to God. And so let's just take just a moment in silence as we examine ourselves and allow God to examine us and show us if there are things that we need to confess, that we need to turn over to Him before we participate in this service this morning. Lord, You have heard the cries of our heart. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. I'll ask God.